You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. He ain't heavy, he's my diluent part 3. The pipelines that transport diluent to the oil sands. Published by Martin King. Producers in Alberta's oil sands have been through good times and bad times the past few years. Sure, there's been a lot of growth in output since 2010. But they've also seen wildfires that forced one-third of production offline. And pipeline takeaway constraints that sent prices tumbling and spurred government-imposed production cutbacks. And lately, they've been struggling through a global pandemic that slashed crude oil demand and led to further curtailments. Despite it all, producers and the province of Alberta are hopeful about an oil sands rebound, and shippers are optimistic that they can source an increasing share of the diluent they would need to transport bitumen from Western Canada. There's good news on that front. There appears to be plenty of diluent pipeline capacity already in place between Alberta's diluent hubs and its oil sands production areas. Today, we continue our series by exploring the major pipeline systems that distribute diluent supply to the oil sands. Diluent has become a catch-all word for any light liquid hydrocarbon that allows bitumen from Alberta's oil sands to more easily flow through a pipeline or be shipped in a rail tank car. In part one of this series, we began by exploring Western Canada's rising demand for diluent resulting from the strong increase in bitumen production over the past decade. Bitumen production has climbed from 0.70 million barrels per day in 2010 to 1.77 million barrels per day in early 2020, pushing the demand for diluent from 300,000 barrels per day to more than 700,000 barrels per day over the same time frame. Diluent demand has pulled back in the past few months due to bitumen production curtailments in response to record-low heavy oil prices and COVID-19-driven demand weakness. Nevertheless, the amount of diluent produced in Western Canada is still insufficient to meet all of the existing need, and two major diluent import pipelines, the Enbridge-owned Southern Lights Pipeline and Pembina Pipeline's own Cochin Pipeline, have continued to make up most of the difference in needed diluent. The remaining small portion of the diluent demand is met by synthetic crude oil, or SCO. The resulting bitumen blend is referred to as SynBit. Part 2 delved into the nature of the diluent produced in Western Canada. About 92% is condensate, aka natural gasoline in the U.S., that comes straight from the wellhead or is processed by gas processing plants and fractionators in Alberta, British Columbia, or BC and Saskatchewan. The remainder is primarily butane, also provided by the same array of gas processing and fractionation plants. We then consider the major pipeline systems that transport those liquids from the unconventional plays, dominated by the Montney, to the main distribution centers in Edmonton, Fort Saskatchewan, and Hardisty. The largest of these is Pembina's Peace Pipeline System, spanning across a wide swath of western Alberta and into northeastern BC. Two other pipeline and gas plant operators, Keyera and Plains Midstream Canada, handle most of the rest of the liquids transportation from other parts of western and central Alberta. This brings us to the focus of today's blog, how all of the in-region diluent production and imported diluent makes its way from the primary distribution centers mentioned before to the various oil sands sites across Alberta. We discussed a number of these pipelines almost 6 years ago in our 9-part series Parallel Lines. When we wrote that series, numerous diluent-dedicated pipelines were either under construction or being proposed to deal with what was expected to be an immense increase in oil sands bitumen supply through the second half of the 2010s. However, a good portion of that bitumen production increase didn't materialize as expected because plant expansions and new developments in the oil sands were either cut back or shelved due to the oil price pullback in late 2014 and 2015, or were stymied by years of regulatory legal delays for oil export pipeline. The end result was that some diluent pipeline projects also fell by the wayside as it became clear that diluent demand would not be as great as originally thought. Nevertheless, an impressive collection of dedicated pipeline systems has been built to transport diluent to the oil sands, with most originating at the distribution hubs of Edmonton and nearby Fort Saskatchewan. In this discussion, we describe only those pipelines that deliver diluent to the oil sands, not the pipelines that transport bitumen blended with the diluent, or dilbit, from the oil sands to distant refineries. We begin with the pipelines that ship diluent from the Edmonton-Fort Saskatchewan area to the Fort McMurray-Athabasca and Cold Lake regions. The largest operator of these diluent-dedicated pipeline systems is Calgary-based Enter Pipeline Limited, or IPL, consisting of its Polaris, Porter, and Cold Lake pipelines. With a capacity of 879,000 barrels per day, Polaris is the largest diluent pipeline in terms of nameplate capacity, as reported by the Alberta Energy Regulator, or AER. Stretching 273 miles, or 440 kilometers, from Edmonton to the Athabasca and Cold Lake regions, Polaris was originally part of the old corridor system, but was converted to a standalone diluent pipeline in 2012 and underwent subsequent expansions to bring it to its current capacity. IPL reported that the total volume of diluent shipped through Polaris in the first quarter of 2020 was 287,000 barrels per day. IPL's quarter pipeline, purchased from Kinder Morgan in 2008, was built to ship both dilbit and diluent upon its initial completion in 2003. IPL has undertaken several expansions since then, with the current diluent portion of the system, which is completely separate from Polaris, having an estimated capacity of 150,000 barrels per day. Starting at the Scotford Upgrader just to the northeast of Fort Saskatchewan, the diluent portion of Quarter Pipeline runs a total of 281 miles, or 453 kilometers, to the Muskeg River and Jackpine bitumen mines outside of Fort McMurray. IPL's remaining major pipeline asset is the Cold Lake Pipeline, which starts in the Edmonton area and transports diluent to various parts of the Cold Lake region. Running more than 870 miles, or 1,400 kilometers, the diluent-only capacity of the pipeline is estimated to be 150,000 barrels per day. Next is the Norlite Pipeline, which is owned by Enbridge, with a 70% share, and Keyera, with 30%. Spanning 278 miles, or 447 kilometers, from just outside of Edmonton to Enbridge's south facility near Fort McMurray, Norlite has an additional, smaller connection to the Suncor's East Tank Farm. Completed in June 2017, Norlite has a nameplate capacity for diluent of 218,000 barrels per day, according to the AER. The Access Pipeline is owned by Calgary-based private operator Wolf Midstream. Originally completed as a dilbit line in 2007 in a joint venture between Devon Energy and Meg Energy, Access sits between Christina Lake in the southern Athabasca region and Edmonton. It was later reversed as a diluent-only line along the same corridor, with flows from Edmonton to Christina Lake starting up in the third quarter of 2017. Running 186 miles, or 300 kilometers, its capacity is reported to be 140,000 barrels per day. That covers the pipelines that move diluent from Edmonton, Fort Saskatchewan to the Athabasca and Cold Lake regions. There is, however, another diluent-dedicated pipeline worth noting, Plains Midstream Canada's 187-mile, or 300-kilometer, Rainbow 2 pipeline. With a reported nameplate capacity of 35,000 barrels per day, this pipeline began operations in September 2013 and runs northwest from Edmonton toward the Peace River oil sands region and ends up at Plains Nipisi Terminal. From the Nipisi Terminal, a smaller connecting pipeline ships diluent west to the Hague Lake Terminal end. Starting in July, Rainbow 2 will connect eastward from near Nipisi to Rangeland Midstream's Martin Hills Pipeline, sending diluent for heavy oil operations into the Martin Hills region. Finally, there are two diluent-dedicated pipelines, owned and operated by Calgary-based Husky Energy, that revolve around the Hardisty hub. First, the LLB Direct Pipeline is an 8-inch diameter, 93-mile, or 150-kilometer, condensate line that stretches from an interconnection with IPL's Cold Lake Pipeline near Elk Point to Hardisty, where the diluent is used for blending operations. A separate, smaller diameter pipeline transports some of that diluent 71 miles, or 115 kilometers, from the Hardisty hub along the Husky mainline corridor that runs from Hardisty to Husky's operations in Lloydminster on the Alberta/Saskatchewan border, where it is used for additional blending operation. Capacity of the LLB Direct Pipeline is estimated at 25,000 barrels per day, and the capacity of the diluent portion of the Husky mainline is estimated to be 20,000 barrels per day. We should note there is some limited capacity to receive condensate into Hardisty via a connection with the Southern Lights import pipeline. The capacity of all the diluent-dedicated pipelines totals 1.58 million barrels per day, which is more than double the recent demand for diluent of 0.70 million barrels per day that we mentioned earlier. This is not an entirely a fair comparison, however, as the amount of diluent delivery capacity is also dependent on where current and any future bitumen production development is or might be taking place. But with apparent diluent pipeline transportation capacity well in excess of current diluent demand, is there any chance that diluent demand could expand to use a good chunk of the spare diluent pipeline capacity? Also, could in-region production of condensate increase enough to eliminate the need for at least one of the pipelines now sending U.S. condensate/natural gasoline to Alberta? We will investigate these questions in the next and final installment of this series. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother was written by Bobby Scott and Bob Russell. The song was originally released by Kelly Gordon in early 1969, but it was the Hollies' release of the song as a single in September 1969 that made it a worldwide hit. He Ain't Heavy was the second song on side 2 of the US release of the Hollies' ninth studio album of the same name. The song was recorded at Abbey Road Studios in London between June and August 1969, with Ron Richards producing. It went to number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Alan Clark on lead vocal and harmonica, Tony Hicks on lead guitar and backing vocals, Terry Sylvester on rhythm guitar and backing vocals, Bernie Calvert on bass and keyboards, Bobby Elliott on drums, and Elton John on piano. The album He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother was released in the US in December 1969. It was released in the UK 1 month prior, under the title Hollies Sing Hollies. The renamed US version included the hit single, which was not included on Hollies Sing Hollies. It would be the first Hollies album released since the departure of Graham Nash in late 1968. The album went to number 32 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. The Hollies are a British rock band formed in Manchester in 1962 by Alan Clark and Graham Nash. They have released 21 studio albums, 22 compilation albums, 7 EPs, and 67 singles. They have had 21 singles chart in the Billboard Hot 100, and 13 albums chart in the Billboard Top 200. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Vocal Group Hall of Fame. The band still tours with founding members Tony Hicks and Bobby Elliott, joined by touring musicians.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.